So welcome to our 17th episode of the HCAN Connection. My name is Katie. I'm a former student governor to the HCAN Board of Governors and current PR and Communications Committee Chair. I'm also a PhD candidate in electrical engineering, and I'll be the host for this episode today. Our episode is focused on volunteerism. So how to get involved, why to get involved, but also inspiring others to get involved. And today we have two really amazing guests. We have Christopher Sanderson, who's the HCAN Regions 5 and 6 Governor to the HCAN Board of Governors, and also the IEEE Region 5 South Area Chair. And then we have Eileen Singh-Gupta, who is a fourth-year PhD student at UTA and also the president of the HCAN Epsilon Mu Chapter. So welcome to both Christopher and Eileen. Thank you so much for being here today and being our guests. And, you know, I briefly introduced the both of you, and your bios are going to be in the description of this video. But could you just tell us a little bit more about yourselves and some of your current volunteerism efforts, both IEEE and otherwise? And Eileen, would you want to go first?
Sure. That's a privilege. So, yes, I am a fourth-year PhD student, and my focus is on deep learning. I work with medical data and all sorts of things, all sorts of processing on medical data. I work with deep learning domain. So probably you are wondering on, or you're guessing on, that I would be building different architectures to actually process those medical data so that we finish off with different phase identification or tool identification and stuff like that. Very interesting, very trending. So I'm privileged to work in this field though. I'm also the lead graduate teaching assistant out here. So my job not only entails, taking a class or filling up my graduate teaching assistantship duties, it's also about mentoring. And this is my first volunteering opportunity. Very, very grateful that I can actually peer mentor my freshman graders, as well as the people who are a little bit fresh into the graduate teaching area. So that's there. And of course, I have been inducted as a president for the Epsilon Mu chapter at UTA, Electrical Engineering Department. And yes, I'm the president there. So thank you for having me once again. That's a little humble start for me.
Great. Thank you so much. And Christopher, what about you?
Well, my name is Christopher Sanderson. I wear multiple hats within the IEEE, and I'm very proud of the time I've been part of IEEE. I am a 1995 Prairie View A&M University graduate. I know it's probably some time ago for some of you, but I'm here likewise. But we talk about volunteerism, just a little bit about myself. I'm also used to be a commissioned officer in the United States Army Air Defense Artillery. Hmm. And so from an officer standpoint, as well as just from a enlisted standpoint, I served armedly for two tours. And so we talk about volunteerism and we talk about service. And when we talk about service, we have to define what service is. And so we look into the old Webster. Service can be defined as the action of helping or doing work for others. That could be family, community, business, or country. And it's the soul of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, and Christopher, too, you said you wear many different hats in IEEE for volunteering. Can you tell us about a few of those? You know, how are you involved?
Well, of recent, I am actually part of the Sections Congress Program Committee. Of course, I am IEEE Eta Kappa Nu Region 5 and Region 6 Board Directors Representative. I am also on the 50th the IEEE Foundation 50th Anniversary Committee. I have served in a lot of other capacities, such as IEEE USA Career and Professional Development Committee, as well as the IEEE Admissions and Advancement Committee, helping people get to senior membership levels.
Great. So, and I guess my first question for both of you is just, you know, what drew you to volunteer in these different capacities in IEEE? You know, it's one thing to just be a member, but it's another thing to kind of put yourself out there and, you know, volunteer and give back to these organizations too. So what drew the both of you to start volunteering? Whoever wants it can take it first.
I'll let Ellen go ahead and share first.
All right, great. Well, a PhD student is always very engaged and, you know, a lot of studies. So, I mean, electrical engineering itself is a very engaging field of study as well. But the point is, what can you do to enhance your life capacities, experiences? So for me, volunteer is all yes to life. When you become a volunteer, you open yourself to becoming all positive and all yes to life. Whatever experiences you face on the way, you take it positively. So when I was in the corporate, so I have, before I joined UTA, I worked in the corporates. And what I felt was I looked up to certain leaders, great leaders, and what I learned from them when I tried to apply that, there was some kind of challenge. So when my professor, Dr. Venkat Devarajan, he is a senior lecturer and a senior professor at my university, University of Texas at Arlington. He was an Ithaca Panil member himself at UTA. So he was like, hey, you know, you're doing great in your academics. Why don't you opt for HKN? And I did not know HKN at that time. I was an IEEE member for 7 years, have no idea for HKN, what HKN stands for. I'm like, okay, sure. So I went hovering around IEEE and I'm like, I found all my students there and they're like, hey. So they welcomed me in and they explained me what IEEE HKN really stands for. And I was like, great, I already have an IEEE membership. I know what IEEE is all about. Now I'm going to focus on the Honor Society, which has some certain criteria depending on which university you were in. And the first thing actually that I was very impressed by is that huge volunteering opportunity that we had. I immediately said, yes, even if I'm a graduate teaching assistant, I'm becoming an HKN tutor. Needless to say that there are different set of challenges in each sphere. And I was ready for those challenges. I was ready and all yes, going down, knowing the fact that I have now divided my time into my research work, my graduate teaching assistantship, my HKN duties, and I am also a part of a lot of other organizations across UTA. UTA is a very diverse campus, has a lot, tons of organizations there. So I'm also a part of MAVSCO Green, which is, I'm a treasurer there. So that kind of kickstarted my volunteering experience. So I think the leadership opportunities and the education, when you learn something and when you try to implement it, you face different challenges. That is where volunteering experience becomes so important. When you work with diverse people with their diverse thought process and working process, there is no better opportunity for me than to actually volunteer. That's how I learn. And I, you know, when I learn, I keep spreading how to learn. So that would be all, I guess.
Great. And then Christopher, what about you? What drew you to volunteering in these different capacities across IEEE?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm at the middle of my career, headed into the sunset. And so Ari shared previously that I am a military veteran as well as a military brat. And so some people may not understand what that means to be a brat versus a veteran. So I grew up in the military. Both of my family members, majority of my family has served in the military. And so I grew up in a different time in a small town called Killeen, Texas, understanding service to God, country, family, and the community. It's the way I was raised. So that has always been a part of who I am. I continue to hold those traditions very close to my heart. And so again, I'm at the middle of my career heading into the sunset. So I'm hoping that I help the next STEM young professional innovator create all the different medicines and technologies that's going to help me be able to live a long and illustrious life.
Great. Yeah. And from both of your answers, you know, I heard a couple of things that I relate to as well. I think One is having people like professors or mentors that you look up to kind of identifying or seeing something in you and saying, hey, I think you would be great to join this organization, or why don't you volunteer? I think that can be such an important step into getting people involved. And also just that wanting to give back, having that as part of your character. Yeah, I think those are really common reasons why a lot of us volunteer. So kind of following up on that, you know, you both told us how you got involved and, you know, some of the reasons you got involved. Do you have any advice for people who are interested in getting involved in an organization like IEEE or HCAN chapter and don't really know where to start? You know, what advice would you give somebody in that position?
Ellen, you want to take the first part and I'll take the second part?
Sure. So I think the first step is to overcome the fear that you do not belong. Sometimes we have that fear that, oh, IEEE or HKN should be, you know, something that I would never be accepted in. That's a very big thing in freshmen, because sometimes they become conscious about their GPAs, or maybe they don't know enough, or maybe they are going to look stupid in these particular spheres. And I'm being very honest, because this is what I have found out in the students. They are actually brilliant scholars. They have different learning methods. That's all. Everybody is a very good student, according to what I have seen in all my 4 years. Very, very less experience, so please forgive me if I'm saying something wrong. But everybody has a different capacity of learning, and the first step is to overcome that fear and actually go and talk to your peers or to your seniors that, hey, you know, I have heard about this, but I don't know whether I'm going to fit in or not. So do you think, what do you advise? And if you are really out here at UT, I'm blessed with an atmosphere where everybody is very reachable. But sometimes there would be people who are extremely busy and have their own things going on. So peer education, like the tutoring, HKN tutoring. So peer education is also very important. So take that first step. And the second thing I would say after you have overcome that fear would be to accept the fact that you have to work, put in some amount of effort. Just to become a member, you can stay a member, but staying a member and engaging yourself is totally different. Like, you can become a member and you can show that in your CV that looks really good, but engaging yourself into learning and immersing your experience of all the 4 years of bachelorette or master's or your PhD, this is what I felt a little bit scared doing in the first place, because should I commit to it? But that fear of commitment is there in us. It's innate in us, in all mammals. So I would say the fear of commitment into any specific spheres of your life that, okay, yes, we are a team. We are going to overcome whatever challenges we have as a team. And we are going to see how we do it. We are going to pull it off. Have that bigger vision and narrow it down to something plausible, small steps. And for any students who are just, you know, wondering whether they are going to join or not, I would definitely encourage them to join. It's a lifetime experience. When you leave college, you go into professional atmosphere, you're not going to experience the college fun that you have. And this is a huge part of your electrical engineering department, be it, you know, from the tutoring experience or from any kind of workshops that we do, any kind of guests that we invite in. So I would say it's a huge experience that you might actually choose to opt out from, but you're going to miss out. That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other advice for people who, you know, are kind of afraid to take that first step to get involved?
Well, for me, I'm going to refer to two commercials. So again, I'm going to date myself. First one's going to be the Nike commercial, which is Just Do It. And the second one's going to be the Skippy commercial. So Mike, you may even like it. And so I sometimes question this particular group of millennials that believe that networking is being on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and all the other different social platforms out there. And then I asked them, well, how's your LinkedIn profile look? And they're looking at me like, well, LinkedIn, what's that? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, if you're going to network socially, you need to also network professionally. And that's what a lot of companies will actually go and look at as well, to make sure you have the appropriate, you exhibit the appropriate tendencies that they're looking for in their candidates. And so I admit, you know, I've been doing this for quite some time. And so my LinkedIn profile is probably a little bit overboard compared to some people, but I also know what my brand and what my equity is and what value I bring to an organization. And so, it's interesting when I do get the opportunity to look outside of where I'm looking for a job, and I get a call from a headhunter or somebody, they have this great opportunity, and they start talking to me about the opportunity. And first question I ask them, listen, I really appreciate that information, but have you had a chance to take a look at my LinkedIn profile? And they're like, well, no. I said, well, let's take a look at that, and let's talk first thing tomorrow at whatever time. Because I'm setting the presence of what I am and what value I bring. And it's the same thing I also tell young professionals. You have to get involved. You have to join those committees. You have to get to know the people that's on those committees, because you never know when that door is going to open. Never know. And I've had plenty of doors open for me because of someone that I worked with on a committee or some type of volunteer activity I did. And they remember that, and I was able to get to the final stages and get the job based on those relationships.
Yeah, definitely. And again, you know, there's so many things that I relate to from what you've both said. You know, I think from my personal volunteer experience, you know, I've been pretty involved with HCAN and the IEEE Instrumentation and Measurement Society, IEEE student branches, all that good stuff. But, you know, I'm finishing up my PhD now, and I'm kind of have been on the job market, and having those connections across those organizations, you know, when I talk to some of those people, they say, hey, you know, I know you do good work in this volunteer position. If you're interested in a position at my company, I can connect you with so-and-so, or like, tell me if you want to apply, and then we'll talk. You know, it's having that network behind you too, of people who trust you, who believe in you, who know you'll do good work and will advocate for you too. I think that's a benefit of, you know, kind of a side benefit of being a volunteer besides getting to help people and, you know, pay it forward. And there's also just that aspect of getting to pay it forward. I think, you know, I always think of my volunteer positions, you know, what would have made my experience better when I was a younger student? What would have helped me have, you know, a better time throughout undergrad? Or what did I really struggle with? What were my pain points? And how can I address those for students so they're never a pain point to even begin with? And that's kind of how I think about volunteerism, kind of on the local level. But that leads into my next question for the both of you. And that is, you know, what are some of the skills that you've gained through your volunteer work?
I think it's important for me to stress on this point that I already had very specific skill sets that I developed in the corporates. But when I came out here, it's a different scenario. So I had to break myself down and make myself up. So when I talk about the very fact that when I volunteered, I kind of upgraded my leadership capability of communicating to people. Communication is such an important skill, both professional and casual conversation. They add meaning to everybody's time as well as their spheres of life. So communication, I would say, definitely improved. Something that most of the STEM students struggle with, even when they are defending their thesis, because I'm a PhD student, I would talk about my defense, which is very important. Even when they're defending, I would see that they are not able to exactly express what they are trying to explain. So that barrier, I identified that barrier very, very early at my career stage. And I said, okay, well, I have this challenge in front of me. Now, what can I do to overcome it? So I started interacting with people. And that interaction kind of led to one thing, led to the other, and then I joined HKN. But Yeah, communication skills definitely was one. Second would be time management. When you're volunteering, you are giving some of your very precious time as, now, well, students would be like, okay, well, you are kind of free, you know, but different students have different responsibilities. So we cannot assume that every student is always, you know, occupied otherwise and, you know, they're having a nice time. But yes, most of us are definitely having that privilege of having some time for ourselves. So managing that time at hand would be very important. I could have just, you know, slept at one morning and got up late, but instead I decided to proactively train my brain at, excuse me, and come to an opportunity of serving, suppose, my mission Arlingtons that I have out here, or we always in my HKN, under my lovely president who was there, Beatrice, and of course, I'm going to carry on her traditions of volunteering. We start always with a sandwich making thing where all community come together, make sandwiches, and we give that to Mission Arlington as a donation. So the little things that I kind of vibed with makes me feel happy too. This is very selfish of me to actually extract happiness from there. But when you open up to any leadership position, I think for me, it's very important for me to be inclusive as well as set my boundaries. That's something that I was very, very bad at. You know, setting boundaries and becoming all inclusive, it's like two contradictory notions, but that's what I also became good at. So.
Well, I would ditto exactly what Eileen has shared. Probably the most important thing I've learned during my volunteer time is just really interpersonal skills. You'd be surprised once you get past the corporate or the organizational mindsets and really get to know a person and be sincere about where you need help and support and them willing to spend that time and help you means a heck of a whole lot. And I always tell my mentees is that you definitely need to show your appreciation to your mentors on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they learn the hard way is that it's not easy being a mentee of mine. And so when I say that, I say it from this standpoint. Just like when you're working within the team, you're always going to have team dynamics. You're going to have personalities. You're going to have conflict. The question becomes, how are you able to get past those conflicts and accomplish the goal or the mission at that time? Because you can't say that, hey, John over there didn't want to work with me. They hired you for a reason. They have an expectation for you to perform your job, and you have to figure out how to get past whatever that barrier is with John or anybody else in the organization. And so those interpersonal skills are going to be very, very important. Now, I play golf, but I'm no Tiger Woods. So that being said, if I find someone that's on my team that loves golf, I can have a golf conversation. I love to eat. And anybody who knows me is that I think that Texas barbecue is number one. And so you can be from Carolina. You can be from Kansas City. I don't care. Texas barbecue is number one, and I will defend it. But it's also allowed me to have deeper conversations. And so that's why I think it's very important.
Yeah, I would actually kind of add to that because, see, when you're volunteering, I, as a president, I cannot say that you're doing a bad job, you're fired. Well, you're a volunteer, you can't fire them. Mm-hmm. So what would you do? So it's challenging, you know. You have to keep yourself motivated as well as your team motivated in a very different way because you have to get them to do something which they are not obligated to do and you can't fire them. So how do you do it? That's interesting. You know.
Yeah, definitely an important skill. And then also, too, you kind of get the experiences of managing up as a volunteer leader as well. You know, you're maybe, you know, the president of your chapter, but you're also kind of trying to get maybe your department head or your faculty advisor or somebody like that, you know, playing on your team as well and helping you out and advocating for you on those bigger scales and those rooms that they have access to. So there's also that aspect too, I think, that's at play. But these organizations are also a great training ground because, like you said, Eileen, you can't be fired. So, you know, you can, it's a chance to try things out, to learn new skills. And at the end of the day, the stakes are a little bit low because, again, you're not going to lose your job. You're not going to lose your salary, your benefits, et cetera. You may lose some opportunities if you're not, you know, kind of rising to the challenge. But, you know, overall, it's a good training ground to learn these skills, try these things out, and develop yourself, too, before you are, you know, entering those jobs. So I think enough. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that one other thing is that you talk about leadership, and leadership can come in profit or nonprofit, but having those skills, I think, is going to be very, very important, because at the end of the day, people buy into the goal and the mission, and they buy into their teammates. And so if you're leading those organizations, profit or nonprofit, to me, the skills are still the same. And mm-hmm. So how are you going to, you know, I got the threat of your paycheck or the threat I'm not going to talk to you anymore, You still have to accomplish the goal or the mission of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so I think this also kind of plays into our next topic of discussion, which is, you know, inspiring others to engage as well. So, you know, can you tell us a little bit about how you engage and support the volunteers that you do work with? We've talked about the importance of it, but let's get into a little bit more of the mechanics and the how.
For me, I had an added advantage because I know the students out here. Because I was a graduate teaching assistant and my teaching style is very personal. Yes, because I am that bridge between what your professors teach and what you actually learn. So I have the privilege of becoming a little bit more personal with the students. So I think building the personal relationship has worked a long way, as well as I have to say my department chair, Dr. Huffaker, she is a brilliant, brilliant person. She encourages all the students in a very positive way, as well as my former team members who were actually my students and then became my friends and colleagues. They have mentored me and mentored our team in such a way that we are ready for our roles when the fall semester actually starts and we have everything at space. I would, however, have to say my team is already built into that excellence because they have been former IEEE members who have done SPAC and, you know, big things like pulled up big events. So they bring their own skill set to our team. And I am very privileged to say that I have the best team of the previous semester as well as this semester. So I would say inspiration starts when I am inspiring to become a person, I have to be that person first. So walking into the steps of trying to imagine what you have and trying to be that person is very different. So if I would have to inspire another person, I have to start thinking, well, that person probably like me, just like a student, does not have the resources or does not have the knowledge that they don't have the resources. Either ways, I have to inform them. But you cannot just go on, okay, you listen, this is what your lesson one of your chapter one would be. No, you have to communicate it in an interesting way, in an informal way, which kind of interests them. So that has been, again, a challenge. So my leadership style of inspiring people is to be that person himself or herself. And I don't have to actually do anything. In that leadership style, people have eyes and ears and all their senses, you know, they will pick up. They'll pick up. Yeah.
Well, for me, Kathleen, I think that I challenge people to believe in themselves and help them understand what that pathway could look like or does look like. And so I am a big proponent of helping those that see them. They may not necessarily see themselves today where they want to be, but I try to help them see themselves where they would like to be in the near future. And so I am a big proponent of mentor, mentee, coaching, all the fancy buzzwords that are out there. But at the end of the day, if I'm able to help you or any other young professional navigate this pathway of career development and having a career and being able to raise a family behind that, you're not never going to forget that. You're never going to forget that feeling that someone took time out to have spend time with you, to help you through a challenging time in your life and when you didn't see yourself where you could be, but they did, wasn't willing to invest the time, energy, and the money to see you succeed. In my opinion, you have no other recourse except for pay it back.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just that aspect too of identifying, you know, that potential in others, you know, that goes such a long way. I know that's how I got involved with a lot of, you know, the different areas of IEEE that I'm currently involved in. I think though another aspect that we've kind of touched on a little bit is, you know, some of the challenges that to come with managing volunteers. So, you know, what do you all think are some of the challenges? And, you know, do you have any advice for other leaders who are maybe coming up against challenges of managing volunteer organizations?
I think after managing like two volunteering organizations in this campus, the primary thing that I see in the present generation would be to keep them motivated, to keep reminding them that they are a part of the community and this community is because they are, you know. So your job, I think, as a leader, whoever takes up any leadership position, to make sure that the people who you have working along with you, they feel safe and they feel motivated. They feel safe enough to actually come and say, you know, I don't have time for this specific activity because it's a volunteering opportunity. I have seen students, again, giving too much to the volunteering opportunity and then they lose out on grades. I definitely don't want any of my fellow IEEE HKN and IEEE members to do that. So striking that balance is very important for me, as well as important for the rest of the people. So I would say that, well, yeah, have a safe space for communication. Again, I would stress on communicating any and every belief systems that you have. Okay, this is our ideals. What can we work around it? This is our plan. What can we work around? So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think too, it comes down to, you know, kind of creating that culture too of within the officer team, within the organization of, you know, doing high quality work, but, you know, not at the expense of, you know, each other. you know, you want to come up off with, you know, good events, good programs that help people, but, you know, you don't, if you wear yourself down and wear yourself out, then you won't have anything left to help people with in the end too. But part of that is also creating those accountability measures. And, you know, if somebody says, I'm going to do this, you know, how do you hold them to that without, you know, discouraging them or, you know, making them lose that motivation? So like you said, Eileen, it's that balance of motivating people, keeping people accountable, keeping that good culture, having that safe space for communication. And I bet all the audience members now can tell that managing volunteers and being a volunteer leader definitely comes with challenges, but rewards as well.
I'd like to refer back to an old acronym he's used in the military. It's called a WIFM. And very simply, it's a what's in it for me.
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? And so once I find out what that WIFM is for you, then I can help guide you to your success, both within the organization or outside the organization, because to me, these are life building skills. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's inherent to all of us that we all want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And I believe that IEEE gives us that safe space from a diversity and inclusion standpoint to a technology standpoint, and even from just a fun standpoint. I have really been a part of some really amazing competitions that I would have blown my mind. Well, what are you talking about, having a cookie race? How do you build a squishy circuit? I'm like, and again, I'm gonna date myself. We used to play with Play-Doh a different way, but if you can make a circuit out of Play-Doh, like, I never knew this. And so that has definitely opened my eyes to other things that I was not necessarily exposed to. And so I've been able to learn from that. But again, being part of something that's bigger than yourself and finding what that wiffle is for that individual, I think is going to be very, very key. Sometimes it may be recognitions. Sometimes that may be going to a particular conference where they need additional funding support. That could be just sitting down and having a cup of coffee and just checking in and say, hey, listen, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's been going on?
Yeah, definitely. And so I think, you know, kind of as we start to wrap up this conversation, you know, one other thing I'd like to know from both of you is, do you have any favorite memories related to your volunteer work? Any favorite events, experiences?
Very interesting question. Yes, a couple. But I think I would be much more interested in sharing my induction, because I invited my friends all over and we were very so I was inducted almost at the time when the pandemic was starting to get over, very interesting time. And my former president handled the organization beautifully during the pandemic so that it did not disintegrate, did not fall apart. All onto her. So my favorite memory would definitely be like my professor asking me or requesting me or telling me to actually join HKN. And from there, I got inducted. And yeah, it's a dream. It's like a dream unfolding. So I would say that's my favorite memory.
Well, I have two favorite memories. The first one is a volunteer named PJ Donner. And so for those of us who are here down in the Houston area, they know who he is. And so the first time I met PJ, I went to a section meeting, and he was the treasurer. He was the AV guy. He was handling the catering. He was handling the speaker information. And I'm sitting here looking at this guy who wear all these multiple hats. And I'm like, okay, why, number one? And I talked to him after the meeting. I said, PJ, help me understand why you wear so many hats. He says, well, Christopher, there's going to be times in the organization where I can wear one hat or I can wear multiple hats. And this is one of these times within the organization I'm wearing multiple hats. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that's insane for one person to be able to have to do all that work. Mm-hmm. I said, give me one responsibility that takes up the most of your time. Tell me how you want it done and leave me alone. And let me do it. Mm-hmm. Then he said, okay. He said, I'll tell you what. He says, do you like to eat? I'm like, PJ, I'm from Texas. Sure. Heck yeah, I love to eat. He says, well, what do you like to eat? I said, well, I'm an old country guy at heart. He says, well, you like papados? I was like, oh, yes, sir. So he says, well, let's meet for lunch. And so we met for lunch. And he said, order anything you want. And so I ordered, and we sat there and talked. And then after lunch, my wife texts me and said, hey, I hear you at Papa Do's, so bring me something home. I said, okay, not a problem. So I go to order dessert, and I told him that this will be on a separate tab. He said, who's the other dessert for? I said, my wife knew I was coming here for lunch, and she loves Papa Do's desserts, so I'm going to bring her something. He says, well, does she like to eat? Yeah, she eats. What does she like to eat? I said, well, she likes a crawfish etouffee. He said, put that on the tab as well. I said, PJ, you don't have to do all that. He said, I do. I said, well, why? He says, I've already bought you, so you're going to have to work this off. So from that point on, PJ was willing to work with me and allow me to come into the organization. And it's safe to say, him as well as John Meredith were two individuals that were very influential in me becoming more and more active within IEEE, because they looked past the individual to a large degree, but also saw the potential. And so that's a powerful feeling. Again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. Someone sees more in you than you see in yourself.
Sure.
That's very powerful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think for me, I think one of my favorite memories is attending the Student Leadership Conference at Tufts University in 2019. It was my first SLC and the only one I got to go to in person. Been to a couple virtually since then. But just getting to go meet other chapter leaders from all these chapters around the world, getting to meet people who I'd worked with online, like Sandro from the Italy chapter. You know, we had worked together a lot on a bunch of different projects, but I've never met in person. So things like that, I think, are really cool and just kind of drive home that HKN is more than something that's just at your university. It's a global organization. It's a global network that you're a part of too when you become a member.
Sure.
So I think to wrap up, are there any final thoughts or anything else that either of you want to share before we close out this episode? Any final takeaways on volunteering?
Well, I would actually encourage all chapters to come to the leadership conference because it's an awesome opportunity. We also have a couple of leadership workshops from UTA. I attended one in the fall. Beautiful. The entire area was like very, very, very cynically very beautiful. But this is something that we are having. Like, I don't know whether I'm going to be there or not, but I would definitely encourage for those of you who can be there, please be there. That's all.
Well, I would ditto the same thing, but I have a couple of different exceptions. Number one, definitely get more active in your HKN chapter, number one. And number two, definitely get more involved in your section, your IEEE section. And so sometimes I think that we tend to just think of it as one side.
Sure.
There's more than one side to this. And so you'll never know the full breadth of what you can learn or have resources to if you only concentrate on one aspect of it. And the parting quote that I'm going to leave you is that we are all measured by the time that we give back with the time we've been given. We're all measured on what we've been able to give back in the time that has been given. And so I hope that I've been able to give back, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts. And I look forward to linking in with any of the audience on LinkedIn. I'm not going to be doing Twitter. I'm not going to be doing Facebooking and TikTokering. I'm not going to be doing those, but you can find me on LinkedIn.
Yep. Ditto. Connect me on LinkedIn. I'm more than happy to actually explain you everything.
Great. Well, thank you both so much. This has been a really great conversation. We have a couple of announcements just here at the end. One thing is a reminder to all of our chapters. If you want to attend that Student Leadership Conference and be with us in Charlotte, North Carolina this October, be sure to pre-register online, reserve your spot. We've had a very generous grant provided to HKN, which will allow us to provide chapters with a paid hotel room to attend the conference. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that you pre-register so that we can work out all the logistics of the hotel, and we can offer that to you to make this a more accessible conference for all of you chapters. Another thing is that we are having another HKN alumni reception. And this is going to be at the Power and Energy Society annual meeting on July 19th. So if you're in attendance there, make sure you come and find our booth. We'd love to connect with you there as well. Another thing is that annual chapter reports, if your chapter wants to be considered for the Outstanding Chapter Award, be sure to get those in by July 31st. There's still plenty of time. You can go into our online portal, fill that out. You can save your progress along the way so you don't have to do it all in one sitting, but that deadline is coming up as well. And then there's also a training session for IEEE volunteers being put on by the IEEE Young Professionals Miami Section Affinity Group that's happening tonight. So we'll link that in the description box below if you want to register for that as well, and you can find it on LinkedIn too. So with that, I think I just want to thank both Eileen and Christopher one more time. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode today. Really appreciate your time. And thank you to all of our audience, too. We hope this was really helpful for you and you come away inspired with both volunteering more yourself and helping others to get involved, too.